Welcome to Dial In for Maple, the AV Club's deep dive look at Riverdale. Today, we are something, something, something. Candy, candy, candy. Riverdale. I'm your host, AV Club's Mara Egan, and I'm joined, as always, by Cameron Sheets. Cameron, hello.
That was a perfect introduction because I didn't write one.
Yeah, it's okay. It's just vamping.
Candy, candy.
Like
we
a vampire. Yeah.
Ooh, vampiring.
Vampiring. Yeah.
That was a great intro because of what we wanted our ice puncher to be anyway.
Yeah, that's right. I made this up last week. Our ice puncher for the week is what candy would the core four be? So like Archie is a
maybe a Whopper.
I think he's just like a Hershey's candy bar.
Okay, you pretty know what I mean? Standard.
Or maybe like a Crunch. It's like, to me, a Crunch is not as good as a Hershey candy bar.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a Nestle Crunch because he's like a chocolate bar, pretty standard candy, but then he's also like got buff. A little bit of, yeah, the crunch is the buffness.
Yeah.
That's good.
Veronica is a, what is like Latin candy?
Oh, Veronica's a...
Or like those like chili M&Ms.
Ooh,
or she's like
a,
definitely like a green, like she's the green M&M.
Oh, yeah. Or she could be a Red Hot because of the spice. And
oh,
she's,
yeah. That's
she's
a good point.
Fiery and fun. Although Red Hots kind of seem below her. Like it would definitely have to be, like if we're actually talking about how like a Ferrero Rocher or something, you know what I mean?
Oh, that's a good point.
And those are pretty good.
Yeah.
There's layers to them, just like Veronica's more than her outward appearance.
Yeah. Like she definitely isn't into like Reese's cups or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Betty is, for whatever reason, when I said Reese's cup, I was like, Betty is one of those like Justin's peanut butter cups, those like organic peanut butter cups that are like slightly better for you than I don't know why. Or she could be something like,
I mean, I thought a sweet tart because it's like,
oh, that's good.
You've got sweet Betty, but then you've also got her calling her sister a bitch. So
yeah.
So that kind of works.
She is a rough. And Jughead is. There's no like good like coffee candy. Do you know what I mean?
No. Yeah, there's like those little chewy things. I don't know. He's kind of like a Necco wafer. No, that doesn't make sense. Wait, what's the. I'm trying to think of like any of the candies that you open and the wrapper has like different words of wisdom in them or something.
Bazooka Joe.
Yeah, maybe he's a Bazooka Joe. That's kind of because it's like a classic.
Yeah.
Thing.
I kind of imagine him as like mints or something too.
Hmm.
I don't know.
I like that. Well, it's a fun exercise. If you have better ideas
please.
And you're listening, please let us know.
Yeah.
It's important to note we are recording this on Halloween the day after the episode aired, which is a rarity for us. We just have been.
Yeah, they put the screener really late and then like we were both out of town.
Yeah. So it's been nuts. So happy day after Halloween. You'll probably be hearing this
happy
early.
Happy Dia de los Muertos.
Happy November. A happy
All
Dia
Saints
de los
Day.
Muertos. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're happy to be here to discuss the latest episode, which is appropriately titled Halloween, as we talked about.
So last week, like at the end of the app, there's just a VHS type on the Cooper Jones household.
Dun, dun, dun.
What we find out straight up right at the top is just like everyone's getting tapes that are basically like SL recordings or whatever, like you know, you could do three different levels of recording on a VHS tape. Very old. Like just like 6 hours of like a steady video cam set up outside the house. They're like, this is so creepy, how did no one see this person? It's like, it's pretty easy, just put it in a car behind like a window and like you're
right.
Fine.
But speaking of like technical stuff, how it's really, it wouldn't, those tapes couldn't hold 6 hours of footage, right?
No, they could. They could hold eight if you did like shitty recording.
Okay.
They'd hold four if you did the highest
That's
quality
what you're saying
of recording.
About SL. Okay. And it does not
I don't know if
seem,
SL is real.
It does seem kind of grainy. So I think you're probably right there. Well, everyone, Jug calls it out as anachronistic as we were talking about.
Yeah, like, he's like, why wouldn't they just do it on a phone? I don't disagree. You could just put like a little like stick cam in like a bush.
Sure, that'd be easier. There's so many easy ways to spy now with modern technology.
Yeah, it's super anachronistic. Maybe they like don't want someone to like hack them.
I mean, true. There is something so off the grid with something like this. Like you can't really trace that unless there were fingerprints on the tape, but they're probably a step ahead of that.
But it's also a tape of like Pops gets one and like Veronica's building. And like, it's just very strange.
And everybody has the ability to play and watch it.
I know, they're not like, oh, I gotta go to the library to use the one VCR. Like,
well,
Tony, I guess, and I can see Pops having a VCR.
Yeah. And Tony and Cheryl were watching on like a very vintage TV that like, so maybe they just have a bunch of stuff sitting mm-hmm. around there.
Speaking of Tony and Cheryl.
Well, yeah, there's a lot. I did want to play Jug's soundbite at the top of the episode because, I mean, it kind of just gets to the sense of where everyone's supposed to be mentally in this episode. So let's hear that real quick.
Why something so anachronistic?
Maybe it's just a prank.
If it was, it was an elaborate one. Over the next few days, then weeks, more and more citizens of Riverdale received copies of similar tapes, footage of their houses, being watched from across the street for hours upon hours. No messages were included with the videos, which somehow made the whole thing even more disturbing.
So yeah, of course he talks about just, as you mentioned, Pop gets one, the Muggs family has one, we find out. They're just showing up over there. Everyone's on edge.
Isn't Ethel's dad like crazy? Well, didn't that happen?
I don't know. Crazy is the
like,
right
Ethel
word.
Ethel kind of went crazy. I don't know.
I miss Ethel. Ethel though. That's
yeah. Where's she at? She was like in the cult. Now mm-hmm. she's not. And then I don't know.
She's off filming something.
She's
else.
Somewhere. Yeah. She's better off.
But I think the important part of this little intro beyond what Jughead is kind of saying and setting up is that we're seeing the Coopers and Joneses together for the first time, mm-hmm. and we are, like, full-on phallus at the moment.
Yeah, they're like, there was not even, like, a step. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? It's just, like, they're not reintroducing it. It's just, like, we are back in it.
Yeah, we live like, in the same house, so why not?
Yeah.
I said full-on phallus. I should have said full frontal phallus because that kind of works with the...
They do some kissing. Alice is, like, very Alice-y.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And, she's just trying to get the scoop. Yeah. She's mm-hmm. news reportering.
Oh, and it's also... we're given the context that Charles is still sticking around because now he's helping FP with the tapes.
Okay. We can talk more about that. Charles is bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, you want to do what we did last week where we just kind of jump around and, like, That's go through storylines?
I mean, we kind of have to because the stories are, everyone kind of has their own story.
It's like vignettes. Yeah. It's like, so, like, Charles is faking the whole thing, right? Like, he's, like, calling Benny.
Yeah, I mean.
Like, however that's happening, like a cell phone or something. And it's all fake.
Yeah, but, like, what's the
end game?
It's
like, the call's coming from your sister. You're like, no, it's not. You're just trying to, like, drive a wedge between them.
The speed at which with they jump to blaming Polly is insane. It's like, no, it doesn't. There's so many people there. Why would you think that?
Yeah. And like, why would Polly be mad at you? And like,
I know you did just save her life, like on a couple different levels.
Yeah. And like, that makes no sense. And like, why is Charles sticking around just to like, if he's ostensibly in the FBI. Mm. So, like, is there really an FBI teen academy?
Well, no. And I mean, I think Betty's rightfully suspicious. And then learning what we do at the end of the episode with him listening in on the call, I'm like, okay, how deep is his, like, lie going? Is he going to make this fake academy for her to join?
I think that they're going to figure it out. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. Also, gross. Listening to your sister, like, her and John could be having, like, phone sex.
Yeah, yeah.
Knowing them. But, like, okay.
Yeah, it's quite creepy, in fact, and it's, I guess, seasonally appropriate since this is the Halloween episode that there's a creepy brother character. But this is, like, I had fun with this to some degree. I mean, I always get mad about fake-outs, so the Jelly Bean, I knew she wasn't going to be dead, but the Jelly Bean fake-out was, like, okay, fine.
Yeah, but also Betty just, like, left her up there, like, stay up here. Yeah. It's like, no, answer the phone in her room
with
her.
Yeah, the call's coming, like, from inside the house.
Like, yeah, stay together.
But obviously she's wearing the Laurie Strode costume. I like the idea that this was like, okay, we're playing up like the creepy calls coming from inside the house trope. I mean, it's not the Black Hood, but I like that that was like kind of on the table. And then Charles shows up with his pizza, very suspicious.
Laurie Strode is such a good, it's a deep cut. I was also thinking like another good one was like the Cameron Diaz character, or not Cameron Diaz, Jesus, Drew Barrymore character from Scream. Oh,
the beginning. Yeah, she could have had the bangs and the sweater. Yeah. That would have been more distinctive. I mean.
Well, maybe too 90s. Too obvious for Riverdale.
Yeah, that's true. But there's a lot of Halloween allusions through. I mean, it's named that, but you also get the little title cards with like Day of Halloween, mm-hmm. that sort of thing in the font.
Can I say, this is unrelated, but I was at a bagel place this morning working and this guy walked in dressed as like full full Michael Myers, like mask, jumpsuit, everything.
No, no, no.
Like, no, no, no. Like with the mask on, with like just like by himself, like on a mission. And I was like, no, it is 2019. We do not dress. We do not like wear masks into public spaces in the morning on Halloween. Like,
yeah.
I was just like, no, no. Because initially my mind is like active shooter. Anyways.
I mean, no, I think it's masks are scary.
Carry it. Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, that's how
that's
I felt
really
about that.
Funny. What kind of bagel did Michael Myers get?
I don't know. I was just like, I do not like this one bit. Take it off. Like, I'm like, and he was like walking down the sea, like walked from his car in like the full costume. And that I'm like, your vision has to be like such shit. Anyways,
that is
not
literally how
go.
The movie goes. That's yeah. really good. No, but anyway, yeah, fun allusions to that. And again, this is an episode where we're not getting the three story arc. You know, it's not like three separate stories, but everyone very much has their own thing to do or own hell to get trapped in. And another one, of course, is Jughead's whole thing. Allusions there to Edgar Allan Poe's work, Telltale Heart, sort of, but also Cask of Amontillado, the guy getting buried alive. And
and that Ryan Reynolds movie where he gets buried alive.
Buried. I mean, totally. The way this was shot, some of it, I was like, oh, that looks just like that.
Yeah.
His storyline kind of starts out. I mean, obviously, we see him at home, but then he's at school and there's the Stonewall Prep, I guess, like, lesson about horror.
Salon, yeah. And, like, Moose is, like, thinking about joining the army.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. Because apparently you don't have to have a high school degree to go join the army. Yeah, buy it, I guess. I thought you'd have to have, like, a GED at least.
I thought you did. I don't really know. Someone please let us know.
It's weird when this show like uses real things but then bends the rules. Mm-hmm. Like the teenage FBI program, or Veronica's like, I'll just get an Uber, and I'm like, why isn't it called like Tuber or
Goober.
Something? Like, Goober, yeah. I'm like, whatever.
No, it is, it's funny, right? And sometimes I'm like, is that SpawnCon? But there was not enough about Uber. We didn't see their logo, so clearly not. But yeah, I mean, I think that this Stonewall thing, it's like I you know where it's going essentially, because they're talking about the Stonewall Four, which we haven't heard that phrase yet, but we already know that people disappear from the school. So it's like, okay, what's going on? Chipping kind of tries to reassure Jughead and tell him it's just this weird, like, urban legend that was made up about people that have dropped out of nowhere. But Jughead's looking into it. Donna, sweet. Mm-mm, not so sweet, just as we were saying.
She, like, poisons him.
She's the, like, yeah, she's the one making, I don't know, she's, like, the, if she's not in charge, maybe Brett is, but she's the one that's going out and, like,
well, like, all of them are, like, everyone in that salon, like, everyone's in on it.
I know. They love that. None of them seem that malicious, and yet
yeah,
they drug Jughead and buried him alive, which is wholly frightening.
Yeah.
He did not have his phone on him. He did have a lighter.
Well, I guess, like, that dirt scene was, like, in a dream.
Yeah, I was trying to figure that out, too, because it was just sitting in there. I like that this, I mean, his whole thing is he gets drugged, he gets buried, he eventually gets saved by Mr. Chipping and finds out the thing.
Quote, unquote, saved.
Yeah, saved. I definitely don't trust Chipping at all. He didn't seem mad enough.
No, and then he was like, here's your phone. And I feel like he, like, pulled it out of his pocket. Like, okay.
Yeah, he, like, had it with him. But
he was like, oh, kids, they get crazier every year.
These crazy kids.
It's like, hazing is, like, not tolerated a lot of places. Like, Jughead could have fucking died. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. People get expelled and
like, if, like, carbon monoxide poisoned himself or, that, like, thrown up and, like, choked on it. You know what I mean?
Or had a panic attack and because he's trapped. Like, that's not fun at all. But, yeah, so it kind of just gets left off and he walks away. And we don't see if Chipping's, like, chastising anyone. But he does not seem that mad.
No.
So we obviously don't trust him. But I like that, you know, we haven't heard from the, as the episode's progressing, you know, we're jumping through stories. There's one scene where we go back to Jughead and it's just like maybe 40 seconds of him in, like, there's nothing that happens in one scene. It's just him being trapped still, which I was kind of fine with.
Okay, so, like, speaking of shitty teachers or, like, principals or whatever, Mr. Honey is, like, being pretty shitty. So Reggie, who's wearing a polo shirt in a way that, or not a polo, like a rugby shirt in a way that I was like, is that a costume? But it wasn't. He's like, I'm going to fuck up his office this weekend. Who's in? Kevin's like, me. I got a week's detention. We're going to the bathroom without a pass, which I don't know.
Well,
you should get detention for going to the bathroom without a pass, unless it's like an emergency.
A week, though?
A week is rough.
I don't know. As someone that has to pee a lot, it's like, I'm trying to not get punished for having to pee.
Oh, I get that.
Yeah. Kevin's like, sure, I'll do it. And no one else is in. And they go and do it. And it seems like they're mildly effective, but Honey has, they're not being that secretive. Honey has no problem like showing up and just being like, hey.
He would have like a nest cam in there. Do you know what I mean? I think like every high school principal should at this point.
No, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Especially with everything going on in school.
So they get caught and then basically he like separates them and fucks with them.
Yes, he does. And it's really, yeah, it's this weird psychological thing where it's like, he knows a lot about them, more than he should. I mean, I think that it's like, yeah, he could have looked up school records, but for him to know about the Reggie stuff is pretty weird.
Mm-hmm. Can I also say, we should hear this clip after this, but also like, this ep, a lot of it was like pretty horror show driven.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like getting buried alive, like the calls are coming from inside the house, like the Veronica storyline, which is like a fucking urban legend. And then this one is just like, yeah, they're having a tough time with their principal.
Right. Which is scary in its own right.
It is scary. Or like the scary doll. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. This one's like, yeah, the principal caught them and is like kind of extorting them.
Yeah, this isn't necessarily playing up a specific horror trope in the way that most of the other ones are.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't quite know what to make of it, but except for the fact that, like, Honey is even shadier than we thought.
It could be, like, one of those, like, it's not really a horror movie, but, you know, in the 90s, there's, like, those movies that are, like, the teacher or, like, whatever, like, they're, like, the shitty, sadistic teacher.
Yeah, or the faculty. There you go. Great movie.
There was one about, like, just, like, a bad guy teacher. I can't remember what it was called, but
yeah. So I guess it's leaning into that. Well, let's hear a part of Honey and Kevin's conversation.
Miss Burble tells me your first choice for college is NYU. Theater program's a great school. Could be a fresh start for you. Sadly, I doubt you'll get in.
Excuse me?
No. Not after Carrie. Not after Heather's. And not after tonight.
It was Reggie's idea to trash your office. I'm so sorry, okay, Mr. Honey?
No, it's very good, Kevin. It's very good. That's all I needed to hear. You can go now.
So it makes full sense that Kevin wants to go to NYU.
Mm-hmm.
I maybe don't disagree with Mr. Honey.
I know. Well, I love that he just like drags his shows that he's put on. He's like, well, they were failures because people died during them and things like that.
Literally got murdered. Maybe that would make like a great essay.
It definitely could.
But
well,
it's a tough one.
My main takeaway is like, Honey, do not discourage him from doing a musical this year because we need another musical episode. They're routinely the best.
They might have to do it like community theater. Maybe yeah. Not in the high school.
That's true. I guess they could.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty funny. But then again, right, we get to the Honey Reggie conversation, and it's like he knows a lot more than would just be in Reggie's records. Right?
I was also very much like not following that whole thing.
I was
like, is this because your dad beats you? And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Like, and then like all of a sudden it just like gets him to like bow down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he pretty quickly gets Kevin to just be like, I don't really know what... I thought that the Kevin Honey thing was leading somewhere else, that we don't like that territory because we've been there before with Miss Grundy.
Sexy teacher.
Yeah, but I don't know either. And I think it just comes down to like, what is Honey really trying to do here? We have no idea. But they walk out the next morning after cleaning up in Reggie's car. Bella, right?
Bella's whatever his car it is, yeah.
Is TP'd and smashed in.
The TP is like one thing, like the fucking smashing all the windows is like fully another thing.
Oh,
whereas
yeah.
He might as well just set it on fire.
Right.
He'll be fine, but like.
That's why TPing is a prank that people do in high school, because it's like, okay, you can clean it up. That's not like money damage.
Yeah.
You know, you spent money on a few rolls of toilet paper, but
yeah, like
to
I
smash
always heard
car.
Like if you egg a car and then they don't realize and then the eggs can like fuck
yes.
up the paint of the
yeah.
car, like the bologna thing, if you ever heard that one.
I have,
like,
right.
Those
it tears
ones,
the paint off.
Like it's bad for the paint. So like those are always like, oh, that's pretty hardcore, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? But like TP, again, I never did any of these things. Or I heard about this like, my friend had like a dickhead boyfriend that would like throw wings at people from cars, and then they'd get like buffalo sauce all over them,
yeah.
which is very shitty.
Yeah, it kind of is.
And humiliating.
Also, bad waste of wings.
I know. Like, it's because wings were so cheap in their mid-90s.
Yeah, anyways. That's true.
Let's take a break and we'll come back and talk about Julian.
Yes.
All right, we are back, and Jason is now a full part of the Tony and Cheryl relationship.
They're just hanging out, carving pumpkins together.
Yeah. Is he just like, he's like, just like a corpse, right? Like a mummy, basically.
I mean, he would smell so bad. I don't understand.
There's this episode of the podcast Criminal that I really like, the podcast.
Good podcast.
And it's about
this
week, and it's about this crazy guy from Key West who, like, around the 30s and 40s, like, fell in love with this woman, was telling her family he could, like, heal whatever disease she had. She eventually died, and then he basically, like, took her body from the morgue and, like, kept it in his house for 9 years and would, like, eat dinner with it and, like, sleep in the same bed with it.
Ew.
and was keeping it. Basically, like, when they found out that he had done that, they took the body and they, like, had a, like, a, the family got it back, basically, and they had, like, a burial for it. But before that, they had, like, a viewing. And, like, thousands of people came and everyone was, like, touching it. And, like, they said it was, like, really well preserved. Like, it was, like, her skin still felt like skin and, like, everything.
How do you do that if there's not, like, blood flowing?
I don't know. It's embalming, man, I guess.
I guess,
and, like,
so.
He would go and buy, like, 6 bars of soap at the store every single day and, like, all this craziness.
Oh, he really loved her.
Yeah, he
that's
did.
Sweet.
Super crazy. Recommended listening, but maybe that's what's happening with Jason.
Yeah, that's true. Cheryl's obviously spending a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so of course this gets to Tony, and Tony
is rightfully, like, grossed out. Like, it's gross.
Yeah.
Like, to just have, like, a gaping mouth dead guy sitting there. And, like, also your girlfriend is crazy, like, more like, you know, she's crazy. Like, you know, she's like Cheryl crazy, but this is, like, fucked up.
Yeah, this is, like, another level to it, because she's, like, in,
like, losing it.
Yeah. She's, like, in denial.
Yeah.
But Jason's actually, I mean, I don't know. Well, it gets into this whole supernatural thing where she's like, okay, he's not going to be happy. So she knows he's gone, but she thinks that, like, they're still, she believes in ghosts, obviously, and thinks that Jason's spirit's still with them and wants to stick around.
So there's this, like, creepy doll involved in, like, a little sailor suit. And
it's very cute.
Basically, it keeps popping up. And then Nana Rose at one point has an explanation for
it. Well, yeah, they finally sit down to do a seance after it shows up a couple times. And, well, let's hear the soundbite, because we do have that.
And Vernette's right. It's not Jason. It's Julian.
What do you mean, Nana? Who's Julian?
Your mother held 3 babies in her womb. Julian was to be your triplet. But in the end, only you and Jason were born because, as the midwife explained it, you, Cheryl, had absorbed the third one. Isn't it?
So, as we had maybe kind of discussed, the Blossom twins were actually triplets at one point, and Cheryl just ate Julian in you.
It's a thing that happens.
Yeah.
Not not the eating thing, but I think, like, I've had reabsorption.
Of course.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I think that Cheryl, obviously, because we eventually find out that Cheryl, like, ginned up the story just to get Jason back. I think she exaggerates it, obviously.
Definitely.
Yeah,
I mean.
Yeah. Why is the baby's name Julian?
I don't know. Julian, Jason,
Julian,
and
Jason,
then
Cheryl.
Yeah. Cheryl. Yeah, it doesn't. They're not all like J's or anything.
Yeah.
I don't know. Julian's a good name. Well, there is, and I should look into it more. There is precedent for the Blossom twins actually being triplets, and in the Archie comics universe, because a reader had sent it to me. There's a storyline in one of the Archie horror comics called like Blossom 666 or something. And, like, their third brother is actually, like, the devil reincarnated or something.
Okay.
So there is precedent there to some degree.
Okay.
But it is kind of weird. I mean, they mention just Julian the doll getting put up in the attic. Like, after a while, Penelope was like, okay, we're not going to keep the charade up anymore. And I'm going to stuff the doll away. And now it's back.
So, like, I had sort of read it that was all made up. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was, like,
even Nana Rose's story?
Well, until then.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know when Cheryl was like, yeah, weird, it's back. Maybe the only way to get Julian to go away is to, like, I had read that, like, Cheryl found that doll, colluded with Nana Rose, blah, blah, blah.
That could be. I mean, she did admit to gaslighting.
But it did come up last week too, but that's mm-hmm. another story. But then at the end of the episode, like, there's sort of like a twist. So it seems like they're going to be in like this weird like Annabelle situation
yeah.
for like the rest of the year.
Well, it's funny. Again, their story is pretty much sequestered to them in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the idea of there just being this like teen romance set in the supernatural setting. Like, I think it's really fun mm-hmm. if they're like constantly like, oh boy, the ghosts again, like. We can't make out in our costumes.
I will say still, also, it would be very hard to make mm-hmm. out in those costumes, but that's another can of worms.
Well, which...
Like, you get into a leotard and then you start, like, trying to have yeah. sex.
Which writer wanted to live out that Harley Quinn Poison Ivy fantasy? Like, who's this
literally
hardcore
everyone.
Super...
Yeah. yeah. And then the other thing I'll say is those poor babies.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The actual babies.
Those babies are probably, like, 2 years old now, 18 months old, and they're just, like,
yeah.
laying in, like, bassinets all the time and, like... being in the dark and like being watched by Nana Rose.
Mm-hmm.
Babies are gonna have like developmental issues.
That's really sad.
They're not real.
No. Yeah. Speaking of Nana Rose, it's a good thing that this whole house has like a wealth of old school, old timey wheelchairs around, because Nana Rose and Jason both use one now to just.
That's a good point.
They just have like a stock room.
Also, Nana Rose sometimes needs an eye patch, sometimes doesn't.
I think it's just a fashion statement, which
it's
I respect.
Aesthetic. You don't want to see like her milky eye. Although it's like maybe as an actress too. Like she's like, I don't want to wear that contact.
Yeah, that probably isn't fun.
Yeah.
And then there's so much you can do with eye patches.
That's very true.
They're pretty cool. Anyway, that their story really ends again with Cheryl's admission and mm-hmm. then being like, oh, but this doll keeps coming back even though we buried it. So
also like it's yeah. is it Anna Rose? Yes.
Yeah.
I don't think the doll's like moving.
No, I mean, or we truly don't know where Penelope is.
Yeah.
So
also very
we'll save
true.
That for speculation booth, maybe.
So with Veronica, mm-hmm. Veronica gets herself in a situation that should have like never happened. It's like she's just like at the diner by herself.
Right. She shouldn't
like,
have been
filling sugar
to begin with. Yeah.
No, she's like 16, 18, single woman. You should never be at the diner by yourself. And mm-hmm. people have like literally gotten shot there.
Right.
I get that it's your place, blah, blah, blah. Where's Pops? Guy comes in, he's like, I just want a home cooked meal. This feels like a story from like Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. Like I've heard this story before.
Yeah, it definitely is. This is straight urban legend,
yeah,
like hook-handed man sort of thing.
Yeah. He's a murderer, guys. He's an escapee from the
Shady Grove.
And she kills him or like maims him by like throwing a we'll skip past the whole like pumpkin pie picture of his kids
yeah.
thing.
Sure.
She throws a bowl of liquor on him while he's like holding a lighter.
Yeah.
Okay. Mythbusters aside, because that wouldn't work.
like a Molotov cocktail.
Truly the fakest CGI on that.
Sure. I mean, I respect the show for going there though.
Get the.
yeah.
They must have priced it out. Like getting like a fire suit guy must have been more expensive.
Oh, I would think so. You can do CGI for like pretty cheap these days.
As long as you don't care.
Especially when it does, yeah.
And like, yeah, getting the fire suit guy like on an existing set. Like mm-hmm. you can do the fire suit guy in like a field. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
like the existing set would be rough.
I have to like, it was a funny, I do feel like this was weirdly, even though we knew exactly where it was going, like a pretty effective little scary short story sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know, something about the music of it all. It was, I don't know. I really liked that in the background of a lot of the scenes, there were like those old horror movies playing too. Mm-hmm. It felt very like old timey.
It also feels like, considering the show has a lot of viewers that are just young women, mm-hmm. like that is truly something that like young women are afraid of. Do you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Definitely.
It's like being alone with like a random dude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that guy was well cast
because
he's very creepy.
Super creepy.
You know what it reminded me of? Who's the like buggy alien bad guy who plays that in the first Men in Black?
Not Vincent D'Onofrio.
It is, yeah. Okay. It kind of
yeah.
reminded me of him for
a
some
little
reason.
Bit, yeah.
So well done there. But that's truly what Veronica's story is. It's standalone, but the Shady Grove mention was like interesting to me because we know Polly's there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also like, okay, you're making it sound like Shady Grove is a mental institution, like old, you know, that kind of old school, like people locked up in vests, but like, I thought it was just a treatment center.
They could have like different wings.
That's true. But it's like, this is, how is this any different than from like what Sisters of Quiet Mercy was?
Yeah.
Where it's like.
Like he should be in jail. Well, who knows, whatever.
Yeah, I'm not
jail
because really sure.
he's meant really crazy. Okay, whatever.
The family man killer. Anyway,
yeah.
Cheryl has some crossover with the Archie story.
And so do you mean Veronica?
Oh my gosh, yeah, yeah. Veronica.
Because she calls her old friend from New York, Katie mm-hmm. Keene, who is really good at costumes. She's in the fashion industry, and she like overnights Archie some costumes for his cool Halloween party at the gym
mm-hmm.
to keep the kids off the streets for Dodger.
Scary Dodger.
Scary Dodger. And
yeah, Archie's in the Pure Heart, the powerful costume, and then Mad Dog's the shield, and those are both Archie Comics characters mm-hmm. as we were trying to figure out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is a probably my least favorite part of the episode because it's like it's not really playing up specific horror in a way to in my mind.
So kids, like, yeah, I love kids, etc. But yeah. Like, it's that thing where it's like, who is this kid, and like, why do I care that he got Eddie? Stabbed in the yeah. leg? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you're
just Archie's like good naturedness.
Yeah, he
like,
cares about all of them. But it is
it's understandable. Like, I care about, like, if that happened to a kid I knew, I'd be like, fucking do with this, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? But like,
for sure,
like your gym appears to be like in the middle of nowhere,
yeah, and there's a like creepy alley and
no way to get these kids home, and like Eddie seems to be implying that he's homeless.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, and it's really scary when they are all in that building and you hear a gunshot, and yeah. it's like, oh my god, the show's doing this, and it's like, no, not quite, thank goodness, but mm-hmm. that really freaked me out for a second.
Yeah.
Then I got shot in the leg.
Yeah.
And FP showed up just in time.
FP was like, it's been a busy night.
Yeah.
Elsewhere, I guess.
I don't know, yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't at like, I guess maybe he went to like Veronica's thing before.
Oh, he probably did have Archie? To go.
Yeah, maybe he was like looking for that dude. Maybe mm-hmm. that's why he was so busy.
But it's, again, one of those things where it's like somebody goes through something really, really, really traumatic. And the mm-hmm. only time we see them process it is like in bed with their significant other. And they're just mm-hmm. like, that was crazy.
Yeah. And I think like Archie's mom has just given up on him like staying the night at home anymore.
Yeah, for sure.
She's like, whatevs.
Just go do your thing.
Yeah. And now Archie's going to be a masked vigilante again.
Again. Yeah. I do wonder how like superhero he'll try and make it.
Yeah, I'm over it already. I'm like,
we've seen it. We've seen it before. We really yeah. have. So of course the episode ends on a crazy note, and that reminds me there was something with the Betty of it all that we didn't discuss.
That you really liked, yeah.
Yeah, which is, you know, we had mentioned how she and Charles, well, Charles essentially they assumed
quote
that
unquote
it was Polly.
Charles.
Yeah.
Is it even really
is it
Charles?
Even? But they call Polly at Shady Grove, and let's hear that soundbite.
No, bitch, it's your sister.
What?
Edgar is worm food, and you're as good as dead to me now, too.
What? Betty, how could you pretend to be Edgar?
How could you pretend to be Dad?
I...
You are sick, Polly, really, truly.
So ends the case of the mystery prank caller.
You know, I wish that I could say tonight's been particularly insane because it's Halloween, but no, this is actually fairly typical.
No, bitch, it's your sister.
One of the classic, I mean, Lily obviously loves to like throw those lines out there mm-hmm. like that. She just gets to do that every once in a while, and it's very fun to see.
It's really weird. And then Polly mm-hmm. just kind of like hangs up and also seems to like still be into Edgar.
Yeah, for sure. So she's not fully out of it, even though I strapped a bomb vest to her. But right, she doesn't, when Betty accuses Polly of calling him pretending to be Dad, she obviously just seems like confused and just like, well, we don't get mm-hmm. enough from her.
It's not her.
So it's almost certainly not. But we play that. So essentially, you know, speaking of Betty and being on the phone, Betty and Jug mm-hmm. are talking, Charles is listening in. Betty's like, I'll always come find you, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Cut to, I guess, spring break again. And we see
FP and Betty identifying Jughead's body.
Mm-hmm. And it's definitely his face.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't know where Dr. Curdle Jr. is. That's my big burning question.
yeah. Who pulls the sheet back?
I don't know. Maybe his father. Or maybe his, maybe like Junior.
Mm-hmm.
Got in the family biz.
Maybe Jughead has a twin.
Could. That'd be really funny for the show to do.
I know.
If Dylan shows up as a dead body or something. and so that's what we end on. Quite an intriguing little final bit there, because it seems pretty conclusively like he's dead. But I don't know. There's some thoughts.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, on one hand, you're like, if anyone was going to get like, be like, I'm done with the show, it mm-hmm. would be Cole Sprouse.
Right.
I think.
But it's so weird to, because then we're thinking like, you know, where does the show go after this? And that gets in the whole like college talk and like, who are we following after that anyway? But he's such a part of the show.
I know. Obviously. No, obviously I don't want it to happen.
Yeah. Let's take another break and we'll come back and look at the episode as a whole.
Cameron, we are back. I did not like this episode because, one, I don't like being scared. I don't like scary movies. Two, I was just like, I like the show's just like pushing it too hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's too much.
I mean, there is a lot. There's a lot for sure. Yeah,
and like it's just like, there's like a scary doll now. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like you're just like, okay.
I love the doll, but that's just me. Well, first, I'm curious, what did you think there was a certain part of it that actually was like the scariest?
I mean, like as a woman, the Veronica stuff is the scariest because like that's what, well, I don't want to say it's a real thing that can happen because like escaped mental patient in a diner you own by yourself is like one, it's very unlikely.
Sure.
But like it is like wrong place, wrong time with a guy. Do you know what I mean? Versus like prank phone calls, which no one really gets anymore.
Yeah, but... No, you're right. That is like really, really freaky.
It's like the realist.
I mean, I kind of liked it. I thought this was a fun episode, and I had written that I was like, this is the rare instance where the show's like need to give every single character a storyline kind of worked, just because it was like, you know, it's playing up all these different horror tropes, and so that was fun for me. I was having fun with it. I think that like they also just did a good job putting the episode together and.
Yeah, I think it's well done. And I think it's cool that they did a Halloween episode that wasn't just like, I'm sexy cat. You know what I mean? Like, let's have a party.
Right.
But I also think, what are we, four eps into the season? And like, I just feel like we're in a weird spot. Do you know what I mean? Like the season, like, I don't know what the direction is for the season.
I agree. I mean, I was like, okay, we've got the threat of Stonewall and the Stonewall prep kids. We've got, Charles Cooper, we've got Mr. Honey, we've got Dodger and his gang, we've got the VHS tapes, we've maybe got this new Black Hood collar, and then there's also Jughead's impending death hanging. And I don't know.
They've got to overlap somehow, but like, it still just feels like, oh, and then we have Julian, and we have
Reggie's abusive dad,
and we have, you know what I mean? Like, there's still all just like weird shit going on. Like, is Polly coming back? Like, is she still in these? I mean, that's like a minor storyline, but like, there's too much like weird shit going on. Oh, yeah, like Hiram and Hermione.
Yeah. And like, I know we get back into that soon too, but
yeah.
I mean, I have to imagine Hiram's pulling some strings. There's just so much. There is, definitely.
It sounds like you're in the speculation booth. Cameron,
I kind of am creeping in. I'm scooching in. Scooching slowly into the speculation booth. So let's do that. I mean, as usual, I just write down a bunch of questions. My first was, where is Dr. Curdle Jr.? And
yeah, he could still be in the room. We just don't see him. I bet there's more people in the room. Like, I bet Charles is also in that room. And then it's like, guess what? He's not really dead, Charles. Do you know what I mean? That's where I'm. That's my, if I had to bet.
Right.
Is Jughead really dead?
No. I mean, the Jughead of it all is like, I don't think he's, I mean, there's probably something where he has to fake his death in order to escape whatever is happening at Stonewall. I mean, that's my best guess there. I don't know how he did it so effectively that it looks like there's a dead body sitting right there.
Maybe Charles is in on it too somehow.
Yeah.
Like he's trying to isolate Betty.
For sure. I mean, I thought about a whole Romeo and Juliet thing where Betty's like, oh no, Jughead is dead, even if he's really not. Maybe he's like,
yeah,
who knows. But yeah, the Charles is interesting. The Charles thing is interesting because now we know for sure that he's sitting there listening in on her phone calls, at least Betty's.
It's also kind of like the same thing Chick did, where it's like, I'm just like, fuck this family. I'm going to fuck it up. Do you know what I mean? It just feels weird.
Well, I mean, what is he ultimately going for? But to know that Charles is kind of like listening in, and then we're seeing the surveillance with the VHS tapes, I'm like, are these connected? My kind of thought is there some like, this is a very loose bad theory, but there's like some Governor Dooley was brought up last episode and he didn't come help them out. So for some reason, Dooley is very suspicious of Riverdale and what's going on there. And now has people kind of working against it. And that's why there's all this. No, that seems crazy though. But I just like, Charles is obviously listening to people. Honey knows way more than he should about these students. Like, why did those two have so much information?
I don't feel like, I mean, I know when you're talking about the government, like, mm-hmm. I just don't feel like Charles is in the FBI.
No, you think he's, like, just fully lying about
feels
that.
Feels like the FBI really didn't do anything about this fucking Edgar Evernever situation.
No, you know that's what I mean? True. Yeah, he could have been like, I tried to call. But we saw him last episode in an office with, like, other people.
Yeah, those are extras he hired. I don't know.
Yeah, you that's know true. I mean? Yeah, he's like, oh, you guys
all just... his equipment appears to be very antiquated.
Definitely. Even the...
I mean, that's Riverdale, but...
The tracking device yeah. and... Yeah, I mean, totally. It's he's working towards something, mm-hmm. which is good because, you know, obviously there's not a ton there with that character still. So to know that.
I don't like really like or dislike that guy. Do you know what I mean? Like other villains or mm-hmm. people we've met in the show, you're like, oh, like the woman that plays Penny Peabody.
Yeah, we love
like,
her.
You're like, oh, she's like got something going on mm-hmm. there. Like the guy, the actor that plays Charles, I'm kind of like, mm-hmm. I don't really have any feelings about that guy.
Yeah.
It's very bland.
And I don't know if it's the show trying to, like, not reveal too much yet. But, I mean, but on the other hand, I am still liking Mr. Honey, and I'm just like, you're weird. In a way that I think is entertaining.
Yeah. Your next question here is Archie really going to become a superhero? Archie's going to get killed.
I know. Poor, also, poor like, Archie.
Long sigh. Mm-hmm. I don't care about street crime in Riverdale.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, right. I don't care about whoever is using kids to steal drugs. Do I want that to happen? No, obviously not. Like, that's mm-hmm. bad. Mm-hmm. But, like,
well,
it's a dumb storyline.
The gangs, like, have certainly gotten out of hand in the past. And so mm-hmm. it's weird to think that there's just this guy, Dodger, and, like, people that follow him. And it's like, oh, you're not a serpent? Like, mm-hmm. what's your deal?
It's also like he's not, we don't have a funny name for the drug he's dealing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Where's the jingle jangle of this season? Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's one of those things. And I think that this is getting at what you were saying before, where there's so much going on. And it's like, yeah, why do we have to care mm-hmm. about Dodger? Like, why is he such a threat? I mean, he shouldn't be, really. Just throw him in jail.
Yeah.
But obviously the show's got some, like, larger plans here, I would think.
Yeah.
We just don't know yet.
Yeah. Maybe Archie's going to kill someone.
It would feel like he would maybe have to, otherwise it's like the show's just going to be spinning those wheels again.
Yeah,
right. And that's why it's like, you know, if the show does kill Jughead, it's like, oh, holy shit, something congrats happened. Like yeah we like really mm-hmm. took a big leap there.
And then last question really here is mm-hmm. Should we believe Nana Rose's story about Julian? I don't know what the fuck is going on there.
Yeah, I mean, I do kind of want to believe Nana Rose. But it also, like, paints Penelope in this weird light where, I mean, she obviously is a bit out there and has done some really evil things. But it's, like, it's sad she lost a child, but then why the doll? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I obviously think Penelope's, like, still around and involved somehow in whatever's going on.
That actually relates to our fan theories. Mm-hmm. There's one from Bower30, Bower30. If Roberto's Chimera definition is taken literally... And you remember that Nana thinks she's talking to Penelope. It would seem that Penelope was at one point pregnant with triplets, but due to Cheryl absorbing Julian Blossom in utero, only Jason and Cheryl were born as twins plus one. Well, she nailed it. Mm-hmm. He or she nailed it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I kind of forgot that we had some of these teases.
Yeah.
The Chimera thing is like, you know, that's that creature that is like a couple different.
Yeah.
Couple different beasts. So.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, is that a real story? Who knows? Another theory from Bucky C is that I think the tapes have something to do with Rumordale, and Rumordale is run by Penelope Blossom. In any case, I hope we see old Peebs tonight.
We didn't
see Peebs.
I think that they're onto something there because we haven't talked about Rumordale again this episode, but like...
It feels a little small time for Penelope to be like running a blog.
Yeah, for sure. I could also just like knowing my mom... You know, sometimes parents, they don't always know how to work the internet in their favor.
Yeah.
So she'd have to be really tech savvy. Because if it were Penelope, she'd be calling Cheryl like every other day and being like, so how do I get the window to open and I want to get that picture over mm-hmm. here.
I know. I just had my mother-in-law and aunt-in-law here in town doing stuff. And then my parents. And it was like watching them try to figure stuff out was like, I don't understand how you guys can like.
Mm-hmm.
Live in this world. I mean, like, there's certain things that you're like, okay, but then there's also things that you're like, why don't you know how to do this? Like,
yeah, I don't know. It's become such a part of our lives that it's like, I don't even know how to explain it to you. Because,
or it's like they've forgotten how to do things that they used to know how to do, but like, it's just strange.
Yeah, it could be that. So that's my theory why it's maybe not Penelope, but it is. I mean, I think thinking about Rumordale is interesting just because obviously that was something that was brought up in the second episode and we haven't talked about it since, but could be.
I think we just like saying Rumordale.
I mean, obviously, just jealous we didn't get that URL.
Yeah. Last theory is something we also mentioned, which is Keezer Rachel saying, so Jughead dead or long lost twin Dylan Sprouse guest stars as corpse.
Speculation. Yeah, thank you for hashtagging speculation booth. I love that detail. So this obviously we got because, you know, we're recording after the episode for a change. And it was so I appreciate the hot off the presses theories here.
I would also like it if Dylan just or Cole just played like Parent Trapped it. Do you know what I mean? Like Dylan's off doing Dylan stuff, just like Parent Trap it up.
I mean, they should absolutely do that. It's like you've got...
It's like, what's cheaper? Having one guy play two roles or hiring a second guy? Probably hiring the second guy, but who knows?
It is funny that, like... I mean, I know that, like, Dylan has been off doing his own thing, but it does feel weird to me that the show hasn't tried to dip into that well yet. Like... But I also... I don't know.
It's, like, fully self-actualized if that happens.
Right.
Yeah.
Definitely. It's like the Well, there's a term for it, but the show just like folding back on itself.
Ouroboros, it's like eating its own tail.
That's it.
And then next week's episode is called Witness for the Prosecution.
Yeah.
Which is named after the Agatha Christie play / 1957 Billy Wilder movie adaptation, but a married couple in the middle of a murder trial for a rich widow.
Yeah, I mean, that was the quickest way I could think to sum it up, but it's like you're following this like older lawyer who's like, this man's on trial because of his like supposed relationship with this old widower, and all this money was left to him, but then his wife shows up and they're both like kind of like lying and pulling one over on the lawyer himself. So knowing that, I think we're definitely laying the groundwork for the Hermione and Hiram trials.
Did you look at the preview for next week? And that was totally not about Hiram and Hermione.
No, I mean, I'm pretty sure it is part of the episode, but the trailer is just As many of you have likely seen, it's just about Betty.
Saying she has serial killer genes. Is it multiple genes? I always thought it was just one gene.
I don't know. She did say genes, didn't she? Yeah. Maybe she meant denim genes. But
she does have a lot of genes.
Yeah. But the interesting part of that is, like, obviously this is, like, Charles trying to convince her that she has it. So, again, it's Charles, like, working against and trying to isolate Betty, which
Will
always
it work?
Happens.
I don't know. Shouldn't work at this point. She should no. be like, okay, no one talks to me.
Interesting.
Let's take a break and we'll come back with the blue and gold.
Sounds good.
We're back for the latest edition of the Blue and Gold, which is where we talk about our favorite Riverdale adjacent moments every week from the cast, the fans, and beyond.
Beyond the grave. We said we would say that because it's Halloween.
Beyond.
Spooky.
I actually have one.
Okay.
I was just in London on a press trip, and we were on a bus going to a dinner, and we drove past this store called The Kooples, K-O-O-P-L-E-S. And their big giant window display was about Dylan Sprouse and Barbara Pavin or whatever, his girlfriend. And it was about like their romance, and they're like models for this company called The Kooples. But it's like them like kissing, and it's like Dylan Sprouse and Barbara Pavin, a love story. And I was like, that is funny, and I wish I had taken a photo of it. And so that is mine. I suggest you check it out. It's
a love story for
strange.
The ages. Okay, yeah. Well, that has got to be Googleable. We'll have
It's like a chain. It's like a popular chain. It's from France. They have 321 outlets in Europe.
Oh, well, great. Good for them. I wonder how Dylan got that deal.
And isn't his girlfriend like a model?
Yeah. So I guess it probably came through that. And they're like, well, you're dating this famous person too.
Oh, it's
too,
a
so.
New collection that just launched 2 days ago. So I'm very timely.
Wow.
I'm slacking it. I'm texting it to you right now.
Oh, please do. So I had two things. The first is there was a specific tweet that I was pretty tickled by from the Archie Comics account, which I love. I think it's pretty funny. You know, they're like, they've got their own comics to worry about and whatnot, but they tie things into the show a lot. They're pretty invested in people watching the show. So their tweet, it says, what's on the tape? New #Riverdale tonight at 8/7 central on the CW. So they have a video that somebody from their team clearly produced. And it's like them opening the door. There's a VHS tape on like the porch. Mm-hmm. They take it, they put it in and they play it. And it's, they're just showing parts of the really, really weird, like one-off RG movie called To Riverdale and Back Again, which is like a goofy, goofy, awkward comedy. And it's like the idea of it is that Archie and everyone comes back to Riverdale 15 years later. And he's like a successful lawyer, which is funny because I think we maybe have talked about this in some capacity before. But the clip of it's really funny. It's like
alternate universe Archie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, it definitely is. I think that like it's one of those movies that is not really cared about at all and didn't really come out through some big official channel, so I would not be surprised if you can find and watch it in full on YouTube if you really felt like doing that. But
or like Daily Motion or something. Yeah,
but I did think it was funny. I watched the trailer again and then I looked at the Wikipedia page for it, and it tells you what like everyone has been up to since graduating. Mm-hmm. And so I love thinking about it in the context of the show, and it says that Betty's been a grade school teacher, but has had trouble finding permanent employment and has a crummy boyfriend. Veronica went and moved off to France and has gotten divorced 4 times. Jughead's a psychiatrist and also divorced. Moose and Midge got married and became chiropractors. So Midge survived in this timeline. Mm-hmm. And Reggie is a gym owner and owns a lot of cars, which that kind of checks out. All
this checks out. Mm-hmm. Like if you're like going on like the old comic books.
Yeah, who they are. And I think that's very much what this was. Yeah. And it's billed as a comedy, but I can't imagine it's actually funny, except it's funny in like a very campy, cheesy way. Oh, we should for sure. The other thing is, you know, the past few episodes we've talked about TikTok. I did a little digging and I don't have a lot of info. I still am going to need an expert at TikTok to like come back and help me out, because I went and I looked up all the main cast members on TikTok. Mm-hmm. And like, it looks like they all have accounts. But I think that this is like me not knowing how TikTok works. I'm like, is this a fan account then?
Remember when you used to be a social media person?
Yeah. Now I don't care. Now I don't even own a phone. No, that's not true. But I'm just like, okay, is like I found what looks like KJ's account, and it definitely seems like it could be. But it could also be a fan account. And how would I know?
They probably all like their teams or whatever like reserve mm-hmm. them accounts. Like whether or not they're actually using them.
Yeah.
Because you don't want someone to like squat on KJ Apa.
No, totally. And then put like bad shit out there. Yeah. And all the content that is on them, there's not a ton, but it's like very much like the same type of stuff you'd see on their Instagram stories. Yeah. So there's nobody
that's like using TikTok for like crazy shit.
Right. There's nobody like producing original TikTok content. They're just like, okay, we have this video. I'm going to throw it here and put a filter on it maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Skeet does have one if it's real. And all it is so far is that one video of him playing guitar and saying fuck Trump. Mm-hmm. So that's out there. Again, probably could still use an expert to like tell me how this all works.
There are some like Riverdale fan accounts that like I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of like fun.
Yeah, I would imagine there's fun things there. I mean, just like there's like the fun Riverdale Twitter accounts, like No Context Riverdale, mm-hmm. and the Instagram that mashes up the faces that mm-hmm. I love. But yeah, TikTok, it might be lost on me. I might just be too old now. I think I made a joke the other day about it's like one of those things where it's like I open the app and I don't see anything. Like I'm just too old. Like mm-hmm. my eyes can't register what's on.
That's how I was when Snapchat launched. Mm-hmm. Like I was like, how do I find my friends? Like I was just confused the mm-hmm. whole time. So.
Yeah, again, please, like, I would love, like, we'll sit down for coffee and you can teach me how to use TikTok if you know. I gotta learn.
Yeah, I'll find someone.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's kind of the discussion. I think it's quite interesting that there is another episode next week. Like, we're really on a roll here. The next 2 weeks.
We'll take, like, a couple weeks off and then we'll have, like, sweeps or whatever.
November. Yeah, you're probably right.
Like around Thanksgiving.
The next 2 weeks, there's new episodes though. So it's like 6 in a row is kind of huge for this show.
Yeah.
We don't usually get that.
Exciting.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we're podcasting ourselves to death.
We are. Yeah.
You should send us all your Riverdale Halloween costumes. We should like Google them.
I've seen a few. People have sent us some. There was
you asked.
My favorite thing I saw so far was somebody painted a pumpkin like Pops, which I thought with the logo cute. That I thought was really cute. But there have been some really good costumes.
Yeah. I'm sure like tomorrow, like Madeline or whatever will post like all the Cheryls.
Oh, yeah.
Like a thing that like famous people mm-hmm. do now.
Yeah, we'll have to keep an eye on that.
Anyways, Dial In for Maple is a production of Onion Inc. Our theme music is by Stuart Wood and our engineer is Stacey Gerard. The show is hosted by me, Mara Eakin, and Cameron Sheets. If you like the show, tell your friends, and they can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, and anywhere else you get podcasts. You can also follow us on Twitter at Dial In for Maple. So we'll see you guys next week when Riverdale takes us back to court.
We assume.
Or like gives us all new jeans.
Yeah, serial killer jeans. All right, bye-bye, Bulldogs.